Okay, good afternoon and welcome to the Crop Transportation Committee meeting. It's Monday, April 22nd. It is 12:01. So I'd like to start with item number one, roll call. Kara, are we all set?
Yep, so we will use the Zoom participant list as well as the in-person sign-in sheet for that.
Okay, on to item number two, public forum. Is there any member of the public that has any business with the committee that is not currently on the agenda? If you are, please unmute yourself. Okay, going once, going twice, going three times. Okay, on to item number three, adoption of the minutes. The March 25th, 2024 minutes, which have been posted.
Patrice Carson will move the minutes to approval.
Second, Chris.
Okay, it has been moved and seconded. Is there any discussion? Okay, if not, all those in favor of adopting the minutes, please say aye or raise your hand.
Aye.
Is there any opposition? Are there any abstentions? Okay, motion carries. On to item number four, staff reports. And we'll start with 60 seconds for safety. That would be Roger and Mike.
Thank you, Eric. So we wanted to share a little bit about our roundabout feasibility study. We are nearing completion of our report. The analysis is all done, and we have an interactive mapping tool that we want to show you. Mike is pulling up on the screen now. It shows what's on our website for materials, and we're going to give you a little demonstration very shortly of the interactive map. So if you click on that map, like Mike just did, up pops this image of our CROG region, and it shows the map with the legend. So what we have is the results of the study shows the top 100 ranked, the top 200 ranked, the top 300 ranked, and then the top three in each town is yellow. So sometimes those are within the top 300, sometimes they are not. We wanted to have at least three locations in every town. So with that, if we click on the icon, for example, at Coventry, and then you go to the bottom button there to zoom in a little bit, it'll pull up the aerial mapping location, which shows it, the location a little more clearly. And then we have some basic attributes. So we have the location, the roadway names, we have the ADT for each of the roadways, we have the functional classification of the roadways, and then we have the total crashes. These are the crashes over a three-year period from 2017 to 2019. The K are the fatal crashes. The A's are serious injury. The B's are minor injury. And the C's are possible injury crashes. So that is the basic attributes that we have with this. And then we have... That's basically what we have on this application. We want to we anticipate giving another tool available to town staff with more detailed results of the screening study. And this one was, Mike was, we're going to give it an example. Is this the 44 in Coventry one?
Yes.
That's just another sample location. And we will have a tool, like I say, we want to get another tool available for town staff with more of the actual data results and some of the comments that we made as we reviewed all of these. This is our crash, our study was weighted heavily on crashes. There are a lot of locations that are still good for roundabout locations throughout the region to make operational improvements, and you know, DOT has been very supportive of those as well. But that was, just wanted to give you a quick snapshot of where we are. This again is on our CROG website. If you have questions, feel free to reach out to myself or Mike, and we hope to wrap up the final study VHB, who was our consultant, provided a lot of analysis to provide this tool, and we're wrapping up the final report in the months ahead. Thank you.
Okay, next up, Elizabeth.
Hi, thank you. Wanted to give an overview of the BIL funding opportunities, the bipartisan infrastructure law, and highlight the newsletter. So the April newsletter, which will be coming up on the screen shortly, highlighted several opportunities. I'm just going to talk about a few here. Congressionally directed spending. We did receive requests for letters of support from several municipalities. That deadline has passed for the application, but sometimes the depending on which program there is, it is administrators will allow after the fact letters of support. So if you're in that position and you would like a letter of support, reach out to me and I can look into that further for you. The next item is the U.S. DOT Safe Streets and Roads for All. I know this is a popular program for municipalities. There's the two grant options. Planning and demonstration is one grant type, and then implementation grant is the other. And then the third item I just wanted to bring to attention was the U.S. DOT's Active Transportation Infrastructure Investment Program. And that is a somewhat specialized program. There's not a whole lot available nationally, but I know there was some interest in some from some municipalities, so I wanted to bring it to others' attention as well. And then the newsletter highlights other grant opportunities in the state, and that CROG is administering too. So take a look at that. There's a link to the newsletter on that page. And then if you're not already receiving the newsletter, just send me an email, esanderson@crog.org, and we're working to get a subscription button set up, so hopefully that'll be available soon for that. And the next screen was on the, we skipped one maybe? Okay. Just wanted to highlight a couple of those upcoming deadlines for the Safe Streets and Roads for All on this page. With May 16th for the implementation grants, planning and demonstration grants, there's two deadlines. There was an amendment to the NOFO that was issued, and there's a link through this slide, but also wanted to just share that the federal US DOT has changed. At one point, you were able to apply for the implementation grant, and if you didn't receive an award announcement, you could apply for the August 29th deadline for the planning and demonstration grants. That has changed, and thinking maybe they're not going to have their award announcements done in time, perhaps is the reason, I don't know. But that is something to keep in mind, that there's been a change in that, and that's highlighted on some of the communications we've gotten from USDOT about the amended NOFO. Just a reminder that CROG's Regional Transportation Safety Plan and the Metropolitan Transportation Plan collectively serve as the Comprehensive Safety Action Plan for the region. Some towns might have other plans that they've adopted that could count towards that Comprehensive Action Plan. Multiple plans can meet that. And then a reminder too that T2 Center and Connecticut Crash Data Repository are good resources to collecting your crash data for any applications that you're preparing and to reach out. Roger and I both have been working on this together. So if you have questions about an application or your process, I know we've already been in contact with a lot of people, but there's still time to if you're considering an application. And just wanted to the next slide to highlight the CRISI program is the Consolidated Rail Infrastructure and Safety Improvements Grant. This is for federal funding available for railroad projects. The town of Windsor had prepared their own study for a quiet zone assessment and was wondering if others have rail facilities in your towns have prepared similar studies that we could use as a regional grant application, or if you're interested in conducting a study, and we can consider that. We are working with Connecticut DOT, have a few contacts there to, you know, to have some more discussions on this program and if it would be a good fit for an application. The deadline is May 28th, so fast approaching. And the last item I have is the FHWA PROTECT Award. And PROTECT is promoting resilient operations for transformative, efficient, and cost-saving transportation. So CROG, along with NVCOG and the other inland COGs, we're calling ourselves, have received $1.2 million to develop a resilience improvement plan. And that will be focused on transportation infrastructure that's impacted by natural hazards. So right now, we're just sharing the news that this award came in and asking if you think of any projects that might be eligible for inclusion in that plan, just to start documenting if you have news articles or things like that that might help support inclusion into that plan. And we'll be sharing more information likely through the transportation department as this program kicks off. So thank you. And any questions, always feel free to reach out.
Okay, thank you, Elizabeth. So the next item is the draft of the fiscal year 2025 through 28 transportation improvement program. Cara?
Thank you. So this is, we touched on this last month at Transportation Committee, but the draft TIP for 25 through 28 has now been released. We are having hybrid public meetings this Wednesday, both at 11 a.m. and 7 p.m. You can register to attend those virtually on the CROG website, or the in-person component will be here in our CROG offices. We're accepting comments through May 6th, and then we are going to be seeking action on this document at the May Transportation Committee and Policy Board meetings.
Okay, thank you. And also, Cara, the CTDOT, the ADA update.
So we've mentioned also as well that DOT was going to be holding a update meeting related to the ADA compliance assessment that the municipalities undertook in 2023. That meeting was held at the end of March. The presentation and the recording have been posted with the meeting materials for this meeting on the CROG website. The big takeaway, kind of most interesting piece related to next steps, is DOT is going to be initiating a municipality ADA program. There is going to be funding behind that. It's going to be similar to how the regional transportation safety plans were done a few years ago. So each COG and all of their municipalities will have an opportunity to have consultant assistance in creating the self-assessments and the ADA transition plans. So NVCOG is going to be the first COG to do it. They're going to be initiating a pilot program for this soon. We don't know exactly where CROG is going to fall in the order, but it is a pretty exciting move forward, since a big issue has been the funding for this work. So, and if people want additional details, the ADA, the DOT ADA contact is up on the screen. As I mentioned, the more detailed materials are on our website.
Okay, thank you very much. Next update is LOTSIT quarterly report, Satoria.
Hey, thank you very much, Eric. Good afternoon, everybody. excuse me, this is the quarter three reporting and some of the highlights we listed below. So I'm gonna just go through some of them. So first of all, Conduct did issue an authorization to award letter for a little over $3.3 million for the Glastonbury Main Street Improvement Project. So congratulations to Glastonbury. So to date, the total amount of project awards in FY24 is a little over $12 million. We anticipate that increase into about $20 million, maybe a little over $20 million by the end of quarter four, because we have three projects now, four, but three as of March 31st, that received authorization to advertise letters So we have three projects in being advertised, and we're hoping for those to be awarded before the end of the quarter. Actually, maybe four, maybe more than that, depending on how many more submissions we receive. But the three are Plainville, Whiting Reconstruction, Bloomfield, Blue Hills Avenue, and Farmington Burlington Road Reconstruction. So congratulations to those municipalities. It's over $7 million worth of projects. We also received three design submissions this quarter. We anticipate 15, so please review those municipalities that have submissions due, and we anticipate four PDs for 90% and seven final design, which could go towards expenditures. 69 projects have been awarded, so congratulations to all those towns. A lot of them have been since the program inception. Four project applications were submitted to CONDOT, and they're listed below, so we hope to advance those projects soon. And then four projects received commitment to fund letters. So as you can see, we're advancing projects all different ways, whether they're in design, they're in application phase, prior to application, so it's good. There are a lot of projects advancing, so we appreciate that. And please review the worksheets that are attached. And if there's anything that needs to be changed, please let me know, email me, and I can change them for the next quarter. Thanks.
Thank you, Satoria. Okay, next up, the Transportation Alternatives Program, request for proposals. Mike?
Thank you, Eric. So yeah, just touching on what we discussed last month at TC, I'm going to give you guys a couple of quick reminders. First is to please send all your digital files, the completed application cost estimate, and any supplemental documents to me by 3 p.m. on May 13th. Second, probably just going to plan on completing the review of applications and show this proposal by Friday, May 24th. Lastly, the reminder that we're going to be hosting a transportation committee special meeting on Monday, June 10th, where municipalities of the short list of projects are going to be able to come in and then give us a short presentation of their respective projects. I guess this is really last. All of our resources, applications, and other resources are available on our website, as well as Kara's and my contact information. So if anyone has questions, just let us know. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Mike. Before we get to the executive director's report, are there any other staff reports?
I did just get a note that Caitlin has something to share related to active transportation micro grants, and she is online.
Okay, Caitlin, take it away.
Hi, thanks so much. Sorry, a little bit last minute, we received a PAL from DOT. Sort of late, too late to probably get it into your staff reports, but this is related, as Kara said, to the active transportation micro grants that they're doing. I believe it's $500,000 that they have statewide, sort of on a first come, first served basis, and they're utilizing the COGS to sort of help administer and disseminate the funds. So just to let you know, the CROG region is doing really well. Mike Cipriano sort of taking point for us on this and sent 9 communities, I believe it was, that applied sort of in the first round of this, and they're all being funded. So we received a PAL. It's for $41,325, I believe. And these are, again, all $5,000 or less related to bike education, helmets, safe routes for school related items. So again, the money is there until it's not anymore. And we're expecting to have another tranche of funding come through again in the future. But this was too late to get into your packets, but we did manage to get it into policy board, and we'll be asking for a resolution from them later this week.
Great. Thank you, Caitlin. That's good news, especially for me since I have one of those applications in. Next up, the Executive Director, Matt Hart.
Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for attending today's meeting. Thank you, Eric, for chairing today. I have four things for you briefly. First of all, CROG is a member of the Rails to Trails Conservancy. And the Conservancy is sponsoring nationally a Trails Day this Saturday. So on Wednesday, asking the policy board to approve a little proclamation in honor of this. And Eric, if you're not already lined up, maybe we can organize a short ride on Saturday. We'll see. We can touch base afterwards. But just pleased to be bringing this to the policy board. Secondly, our Vision Zero Task Force will be holding its second meeting Thursday morning, 9:30. Roger?
Yes, correct.
And I want to thank Roger and others for their good work on this today. Looking forward to making continued progress there. Then lastly, two items related to the policy board. One, we're still lacking a quorum for Wednesday's meeting. I know we got a couple of days still, but if we don't have a quorum, we can't vote on things. So I would really encourage you all, if you could reach out to your policy board representative, if it's your first selectman or woman or your town manager, to see if they are attending. And then secondly, as a regular practice, if you don't do this already, I would encourage you to reach out to your policy board member in advance of the meeting and ask them if they have any questions on the MPO items that are on the agenda. And do your best to answer those so that they're prepared coming into the policy board meeting. That completes my report, Eric. Happy to take any questions you or others may have.
Okay, are there any questions for Matt? Going once, going twice. Okay, hearing none, we'll go to item number five, TIP amendments. Rob, take it away.
Excuse me. Yeah, we have quite a long list on your screen of TIP amendments, but it's a little easier to simplify. First off, items three and four, we really do not have to act on. We are not in that area, but I am glad they got sent over anyhow because they give us a little insight, especially into the ADA transition plans, beyond even what Kara was mentioning in the backup material. Then on top of that, items 1A through 1F are all one project. So those six first rows are one project, and that's for high friction surface treatment on roadways. It's a safety improvement, and there's various funding sources related to safety that are cobbled together to fund that that project, which is a district-wide project for installing high friction surface treatment on roadways. Item two is CMAC. It's travel demand management, and that is really would go to CT Rides and various other consultants for outreach to employers regarding teleworking or carpooling or van pooling, things of that nature, to reduce vehicles on the road, reduce emissions, and improve congestion. Item three, as I mentioned, we do not have to act on. That's also TDM, but that's really for the non-attainment area surrounding New York City. So that's not necessary for us to act on, but I assume we can act on it anyhow. Same with item four, which is for NVCOG. This is that initial pilot program that for ADA compliance that CONDA is initiating. They're starting with NVCOG. According to their backup documents, we are third on the list and potentially going to get started next year with $2.5 million for this effort. This effort would just, the one caveat for this is it does not take care of all a town's ADA needs. It just takes care of what's in the right of way or transportation with sidewalks, ramps, roadways, signals, things of that nature. It won't take care of your town hall, your schools, or any kind of vertical infrastructure. Then items five through seven are all bridge projects in fair or poor condition, mainly superstructure on mostly freeway type facilities with all appropriate funding sources to fund those types of facilities. And finally, item eight is an STP urban project in Ellington. This project has been around for a little while on Route 140, and it both realigns some intersections and improves some horizontal curvature. So those are the amendments this month. Staff sees no reason, no issues with any of the amendments, and we'd like to recommend them. We'd like to recommend their approval that this committee sees fit.
Okay, I think a motion would be in order. Anybody like to make that motion?
Therese Carson, so moved.
Chrisette, second.
Okay, the motion has been made and seconded. Is there any further discussion? Okay, all those in favor signify by saying aye or raising your hand.
Aye.
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 Is there anybody opposed? And are there any abstentions? Okay, hearing none, the motion carries. Thank you, Rob. Okay, on to item number 6, lots of funding increase and scope modification requests. Satoria?
Thank you, Eric. Good afternoon again. This is an increased request for Vernon various standalone sidewalk project. This is a request from the town for lots of funding increase of $626,936 from a little over 1.5 million to a little over 2.1 million. That's a 41.2% increase, and it's mainly due to substantial increases in unit prices since an earlier cost estimate reflecting 2021 unit prices, and also addressing conduct feedback since two of the GAP, the sidewalk projects are on state roadways. So the project currently includes 7,200 linear feet, and it's in 5 different areas. Concrete sidewalk sections, and it's 2 sections of Dobson Road, Hartford Turnpike, which is Route 30, South Street, Talcottville Road, which is Route 83, and Lake Street. And this would complete pertinent sidewalk gaps in the town. Conduct has conducted several substantial reviews on this project because of the state routes, and the most current one was last July in 2023, and the town has responded to all of Conduct's concerns and has utilized a consultant to revise a cost estimate based on Conduct's reviews and also the new or the current unit prices. So as a result, the concrete sidewalk, driveway, aprons, ramps, and site work unit prices have substantially increased, and they're requesting $626,936. Now, the town prefers not to reduce scope, however, has offered a concession by reducing the work areas to 4 and to submit another application for the next available solicitation or another type of funding source, depending on what would be available. This would reduce the project cost estimate to a little over $2 million, and it would eliminate the Dobson Road section, reducing the funding increase request to $483,000, which would be a 31.7% increase. So staff recommends approval of an additional $626,936 of lots of funding due to the increases in unit prices and subsequent conduct review of state roadways, increasing the approval funding request from a little over 1.5 million to a little over 2.1 million for the Vernon various standalone sidewalk project, or approval with the town concession, reducing the project scope by removing one section of the sidewalk and decreasing the additional funding increase request to $483,084.
Okay, so I'll open the floor up to discussion. The question is, are we in favor of approving the entire amount, or are we in favor of approving the modified amount based on a reduced scope of work?
Eric, I move full amount.
agree.
Okay.
Rob Trotter, anybody... second.
Okay. Fair enough.
Who made the motion? I'm sorry.
Peter.
Peter Hughes made
Peter?
The original motion.
Oh, thank you. And who's second?
Rob Trotter.
Rob Trotter seconded. Okay, so you. And seconded. Is there any further discussion?
Good idea not to eliminate the extra section. Should keep it in, for sure.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Is there anybody opposed? Are there any abstentions? Okay, motion carries.
Eric, may I have a moment? Thank you all for your support on this. This was a crazy combination of stuff with this expanded scope, linear feet, and a bidding climate that couldn't have been anticipated. So we're thrilled that you were able to keep it all in five separate work sites. And thanks again for your support.
Thank you for your comments.
You got it.
Okay, and thank you, Satoria. So on to item number 7, lots of inflation-based funding adjustments. Satoria, that's you again.
Yes, okay, thank you again. This is, so last month, the committee reviewed the attached inflation-based funding adjustments memo that was dated back in October. 2022, and also you were in favor of extending the adjustments through April 2025 and approved it. However, we didn't have it on the agenda, so we have to do an official or formal approval of extending the recommended adjustments outlined in the October 14th, 2022 memo and have them through April 2025. So we have to do a formal approval, even though we approved it last month.
Okay, I'll accept a motion at this time.
So moved.
State your name.
Suzanne Choate.
Seconded.
Okay, so motion has been made and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye or raise your hand.
Aye.
Who seconded? I'm sorry.
Doug Wilson.
Thank you.
Okay, is there anybody opposed? Are there any abstentions? Okay, motion carries. So we're on to item number 8, lots of project solicitation, project ranking. Satoria again.
Okay, thank you again. And this is exciting. Thank you also to the committee for the town of Vernon increase and also for the inflation-based memo approval. So I appreciate both of those. So this is for the 2024 LOTSIP solicitation. It's a staff ratings and draft selections that will hopefully go to the policy boards. So the committee can review and discuss the 2024 lots of draft rankings and entertain endorsement of the project selection. So we reserved the policy selection policy reserved $42 million for this purpose, and the different amounts or allocations are listed below for the reconstruction, pavement, rehab, scale, and sidewalk, et cetera. And so in order for us to attain the goal of approximately 42 million projects, we recommend, or staff recommend, selecting all the projects that were submitted, totaling approximately 39.6, a little above million. As a result, the 29 million reserved for traditional reconstruction projects would increase by 5 million to approximately 34.4 million, and that's offset by the 7.7 million less needed to fully fund the projects for, submitted for the three other categories collectively. So attached to this memo is table one. And if you wouldn't mind showing table one, the next slide. So this table one lists all the projects, and you can see that they total a little over $39.6 million. The only correction is Mansfield. Instead of reconstruction of Separatist Road, it should be Separatist, S-E-P-A-R-A-T-I-S-T. And we will make that correction for the policy board. If there are any other corrections, please let me know. But this is a list as it stands, and also the requested amount is also listed as well. So if there are any corrections or adjustments, please let me know. If you go on to the next slide, you can see the reconstruction rankings that are posted and the amount it shows on the bottom right. You can see the a little over 34 million so in reconstruction projects, and they're all listed there, and it actually shows the rating and the ranking of all the projects. So really, congratulations to all the municipalities that submitted. These projects were very well done, and there were some that I appreciate all the components being included to make it the best possible capital improvement that we can have. So if you go to the next slide, you can also see the pavement rehab projects. We had three projects, and then we also had one standalone sidewalk project. As you know, they're rated and ranked together because conduct allows only 15%, well, I should say it's actually very good, 15% of the solicitation to be allocated for pavement rehab and also for standalone sidewalks. So that's the reason why we actually rate them and rank them together. So you can see the ratings, you can see the rankings, very good projects. We're excited about all the projects, and we were happy to receive some pavement rehab projects, and they have, as you can see, complete street components. So very well done as far as, you know, the capital improvement project. And then the last slide is for pedestrian improvements, and this one was, we received one. I think the allocation was $2.5 million, and this is for $1.1 million, and this was from Bloomfield, and this was also an exciting project as well. So all in all, we have an additional $39.6 million projects. We're excited about it to advance those projects and also to advance them to the policy board, or first to the committee for approval and then the policy board. For approval. Any questions?
Okay, at this point, I think a motion to adopt and then also to forward a recommendation to the policy board would be in order.
So I'll move.
Move Dave Smith.
Okay, is there a second?
Second, Todd Rowland.
Okay, the motion has been made and seconded. Is there any further discussion? Okay, all those in favor signify by saying aye or raising your hand.
Aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Are there any abstentions? Motion carries unanimously. Congratulations to all the towns that received or will receive funding in this round.
Thank you.
Okay, so now we're at item number 9, which is a CROG support of Greater Hartford Mobility Study Resolution. Rob, take it away.
Yeah, thank you. On your screen, you'll see a draft resolution of support for the Greater Hartford Mobility Study, and I can read the part of the resolution, the therefore part of the resolution, and then we can go on to, I'd like to, you know, inform the committee or remind the committee of what we did as a staff to lay this out over the past few months
And then we can revisit the resolution and decide to act on it. So basically the resolution is to endorse the advancement of the four major components. And those were the four main components in the Hartford, East Hartford area, to the next stage of a NEPA process or preliminary design phase. So this isn't a whole scale of endorsement to construct those four major projects. A whole analysis has to be done in the next phase, environmental analysis. This is an endorsement for those major items to move forward into the next phase of project development. And then on top of that, the resolution states that we endorse the advancement of the early action and midterm recommendations of the implementation plan into the STIP-TIP process. That is, of course, if they are initiated, the region would endorse their inclusion in the STIP or TIP for those early action items, which are mainly smaller projects that don't require such a hefty environmental review as those four major interstate projects in Hartford and East Hartford. So that was the bulk of what we are asking for or what we've drafted in this resolution. And if we go to the next screen, this is a little bit of review of the timeline. In December, DOT published their PEL report, which contained those four major items in the Hartford, East Hartford area, and another almost 70 items of smaller projects around the region. In February, we provided our analysis, our CROG analysis, staff analysis, including a project guide, preliminary project analysis, and CROG comments. In March, we had a staff presentation, and we had updated CROG comments and conduct responses. That's in March, and in April, this is where we are now with We do have some updated comments based on the comments made at the last meeting. We got CONDOT responses to that, and I'll show that on the next slide. But of course, we're talking about the proposed resolution of support here. And just to update on the next step would be to go to, in May to the policy board. You can go to the next one. You can go to the next one, yeah. So there were three comments made in the last TC meeting, and you can see them on the screen. But in general, the first one dealt with I think John was talking conceptually, what would a similar amount of funding being spent on transit, solely on transit in the region, do for the region? And you can see CONDOT's response here. That is noted that they did review alternate transit modes to bus in several corridors and found the lack of land use density within the region a barrier to cost-effective heavy transit. So that's a comment on heavy transit. I think there are folks on Greater Hartford Mobility Study on the call, so I'm not sure if you'd like to elaborate on this at all or each one of these comments as we go through. Is Casey on the line?
I'm here. Yeah, no. And I was just going to give a second if I don't know if Neil or Kevin wanted to add anything. Yeah, and you know, ultimately, you know, the part of the question that I think we read into was sort of the is bus sexy enough? Is bus gonna, you know, draw the ridership? And that's a challenge I think a lot of regions and municipalities face. And you know, we vetted this kind of response back through public trans. And I think at the moment, just, you know, the way we've looked at ridership on several routes, it's tough to create a service that can be cost effective. And, you know, as you heard in the, you know, earlier in the meeting, we talked about some of the grant programs and discretionary funding. A lot of these investments require that kind of cost benefit ratio. And just with the kind of lower density, especially once you get right out of the downtown core, it's just really difficult. And I think the advantage that the bus system, building off the success CT Fast Track, has is its flexibility. You know, with the way some of these new employment centers, be it a distribution center in Windsor Locks around Bradley, or more satellites popping up in Farmington around UConn Health, I think the ability to for buses to serve those close but not exactly the same place and in a kind of sprawly suburban area, you know, makes it really the most effective for the region, thus the kind of investment, you know, I think that supports the decision and was the reason it was made originally for fast track versus light rail. But I think we see continuing to invest in that mode as probably being the better strategy versus implementing new heavy transit based on the technologies currently available.
Then we'll go to the next one, Chris. Similar comment, talking about the Bulkley Bridge, that there's a lot of room on there. Was there any consideration to add light rail? I know you have a bus down the middle is the recommendation, a dedicated transit facility down the middle. So I guess this is a bit of a similar comment, Casey, regarding, you know, rail versus bus, and whether a different type of facility would be appropriate to consider.
Yeah, and I think, you know, the one thing we absolutely agree about is the large amount of space on the bridge could be reclaimed for dedicated transit space. And I think what we're seeing is with, again, looking further to the east with a pretty big employment center in Manchester with some sort of discrete nodes, it's easier and more cost effective to serve those communities by you know, finding sections of that corridor from east to west where we can provide dedicated facilities. So that looks like something on the Bulkley Bridge, potentially connecting with HOV lanes or Silver Lane or Burnside Avenue, either way. But then, you know, potentially serving both Buckland and downtown Manchester, right? Whereas that's something, you know, because we have these sort of suburban nodes of employment and density and that type of thing, it's I think easier to serve that via bus rapid transit than it is light rail, where you just have to build the tracks. That's sort of, you know, those modes that require that significant increase in upfront capital cost just creates for tough economics.
Well, I guess, and then the last question is kind of similar, and I guess one other thing is the funding availability. I think when people see $12 billion, they think, well, what if you can use it on transit? But is there a $12 billion funding source for transit? And usually the answer is no, you know. But the number 17 talks about the potential for a better link to the airport. And I know we have, you know, heavy transit going to the Windsor Lock Station. Was it looked into, you know, somehow extending that directly to the airport? Or is that, you know, something that was looked at in the study?
Sure. So we started by revisiting some of the previous studies on heavy rail access using the existing spur, the Suffield Spur, I think it is, that goes kind of up and around over a river through the woods. Certainly not the most direct, but it is already built. So that was one advantage. You know, the Griffin Line, of course, falls a couple miles short, notably short of the Farmington River. So we, you know, we looked at previous studies of those and new connections. We looked at potentially utilizing the I-91 median with like a new rail corridor in the median. And ultimately, you know, none of those corridors had superior geometry to the Hartford line. They're, you know, couldn't provide faster service. And so we were looking again back at what we have today, which is the Hartford line with shuttle bus service from stations kind of right to the south, right to the north at Windsor and Windsor Locks. The department is actively looking into sort of potentially using, whether it's driverless vehicles, some kind of advanced technology to make that service more efficient and timely between, but realistically, those are traveling relatively uncongested roads. It's not a real time thing. But then we did take a bigger look. We revisited Bradley Airport's master plan and looked into its discussion on, you know, passengers and how its passengers want to get there. It's a really unique airport from a kind of a catchment area, because being sandwiched between New York and Boston, there's sort of a narrow band here in Connecticut that uses it, but a huge part of Western Mass, Southern Vermont, Southern New Hampshire, Eastern, you know, up towards Albany even, So it's not a very rural catchment area. So we could certainly, you know, there's going to be a huge population that's going to drive from a passenger perspective. So realistically, I think it came back to some the same discussion we had on those other topics, where we've got the biggest demand is going to actually be for people who work at the airport. That's sort of always the case with airports. People who work there need transit the most. And then there will be some passengers that choose to use it as an alternative to renting a car or parking. So again, with that flexibility, being able to get people from North Hartford to Bradley via transit is just as important as from the convention center to Bradley. And again, that's where BRT and utilizing, whether it's dedicated bus lanes on North Main Street or the HOV lanes on 91, we can be travel time competitive with a bus. It's just making sure the service is branded right. You know, that was found to be a big flaw in the current system. Also the equipment, they've looked into getting buses that have luggage racks instead of sort of your more traditional Peter Pan style bus. So, you know, our recommendations go into some near-term improvements to the Bradley Flyer route to improve its branding, availability, ease of use from the airport, frequency. You know, again, that's the, you know, people won't take it if they're afraid they're gonna get stuck there for an hour. And then building into, there's a series of recommendations for a northern BRT expansion, right? Essentially an expansion of the fast track system, fast track style service. So Bradley Airport would be a key cog in that, as would the surrounding areas with the employment centers that have recently popped up with the distribution centers, and then even areas further north in East Windsor and Enfield, et cetera. So basically, the answer is pretty similar, right? And then it does kind of come down to, you know, based on the way our areas develop, you know, we see the most cost-effective way to deliver that service via BRT. And so, but we did study kind of all those different ways that I think we have down the years, and we even kind of looked at, you know, is there, you know, a whiz-bang thing that can, you know, get you to Bradley quicker. But realistically, such a thing would have to be 100, 120 miles an hour for it realistically to be more time effective than a bus or the current currently available systems.
Thanks, Casey. So that brings us to back to the resolution. And I don't know if there's any comments from folks on the resolution or the process?
Rob, could I ask one thing?
Sure.
So this action relates to the Pell. Could you maybe talk a little bit about next steps and how we'll bring this back to the committee and the policy board in the future as the project progresses?
Yeah, each one of these would be an individual, as far as the major four components or any major component that needed a NEPA phase. CONDOT is looking to initiate some studies. Initially, there'll be probably two, one being the 91 access to the river area and the Whitehead Highway, and then the other being the extension of Route 2, potentially to between 84 and 91 on the northeast quadrant. But as these advance, those would have their independent outreach efforts. Those would be grueling analysis studies. And in the end, we would likely, you know, look at those details and make recommendations whether those should move on to the next phase or not, also a design phase. And so this is just the first step in kind of approving the concept and approving these to move forward, the major ones to move forward to the next stages, and the minor ones in concept to move forward.
Okay, at this point, unless somebody has any reason to the contrary, I'll take a resolution to support the Greater Hartford Mobility Study.
So moved.
Okay, is there a second?
Patrice Carson will second.
Okay, it has been moved and seconded. Is there any further discussion?
Doug Wilson
made the motion. Is there any further discussion on this topic? Hearing none, all those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye or raise your hand.
Aye.
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 Is there anybody opposed? Are there any abstentions? Okay, motion carries unanimously. Thank you very much, Rob. So item number 10, is there any further business for this commission? Does anybody on this board have anything they want to bring before the commission at this time, or committee, I should say? Going once, going twice, going three times. Okay, that's item number 10. And item number 11, I'll take a motion to adjourn.
So moved, Suzanne Choden.
Is there Patrice a second?
Patrice Carson, second.
Okay, it has been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Are there any abstentions or any objection, I should say? Hearing none, the meeting is adjourned. Thank you all for attending. The next meeting is May 20th, 2024, and it will be strictly virtual. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you all.
Thank you.